T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. That is how you get aboard on this Monday night, which has been very, very Eagle-centric, as you can imagine. It was Birds Town Hall from 6A to 6P, and we came on, and my point is, look, if you're going to have all these wide receivers still out there, Kenny Golladay and Will Fuller, a local kid, and even down the board, John Browns, and I mean, Sammy Watkins, there's good wide receivers out there. I would like the Eagles to try to carve out some cap room and land a receiver and not have to force drafting one in the first. And we'll get back to all that conversation, all the Eagles stuff. But right now, let's do some baseball here. We do it every night at 9 o'clock. It is our Clearwater check-in, and we're just over 2 weeks until opening day. Thursday will be 2 weeks exactly from opening day. So now the battles for the bullpen spots, for center field, it all starts to come into focus in a different kind of way. Matt Breen of the Philadelphia Inquirer joining us to talk some Phillies on the Clearwater check-in. Matt, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, Joe. How you doing?
Matt, doing well. And look, the Phillies have some questions to answer over the next couple weeks. None bigger and none, I think, more interesting to fans than what's going to happen in center field. Matt, how would you handicap it right now? Because just from the way I'm viewing it, from the games I've seen, what I've heard, what I've read, it just feels like Odubel Herrera is their best option in the moment. I know Mickey Moniak's showed a lot, and perhaps he's going to get here and be here sooner than we thought. But as of right now, I would peg Herrera the favorite. How do you view this center field battle as of this moment?
Yeah, I would peg him the favorite. I think that's fair, but he's not like the clear-cut favorite. It's just no one's really separated themselves yet. And, I say yet, and we're, 3 weeks in spring training? So it's been underwhelming so far, the race. You think one of these guys with this great opportunity would have, had a great camp and really pulled away. But Odubel homers yesterday, goes 0-for-3 today. Scott Kingery was 0-for-3. Roman Quinn had a double. And it's like you're kind of just, sifting through this to find the positive. And it's hard. It's hard to find, a real positive about that position. But I think it's fair to say as of tonight that Odubel's the favorite or is in the lead, but it's really not by much.
So, Matt, you mentioned Scott Kingery there, and I would peg him so far the biggest disappointment. I mean, Roman Quinn, he is what he is at this point. I don't get my hopes up anymore for Roman Quinn. But Scott Kingery, I feel like when Haseley went down, it felt like if Kingery just was okay, just was decent, showed them something, it'd just be the easy solution. He's on the 40-man roster. They've already given him a contract. Like, he's here already. He's on this team. Just plug him in center field and see if he could do it. But he hasn't. And, Matt, I don't know what's going on with his swing, but he just never seems comfortable or right. What's your thoughts on Kingery right now, where he is? Because I know he'll be on the team. I just don't know what role he could play at this point.
Yeah, and he was in the starting lineup last year on opening day. So, that goes to show you how much they valued him a year ago. And so it was anybody's job to win this spring, it was his. He was going to be given every opportunity to win that job. And so far he hasn't. The biggest, problem is the strikeouts. He's just not making contact. He leads the team right now in strikeouts. Had another one today. And that's a problem with, you need, if you're not going to hit for power, which these guys really aren't going to, you at least have to get on base. You have to make contact. And right now, him and Quinn are both striking out way too much. That's where Herrera has an advantage, where he is making contact. Even though, he went 0-for-3 today, he didn't make contact twice. And I think that's what you need from that spot. You need someone that's going to get on base, going to make contact. And if we go by track records, Herrera, at least it was an all-star. You know, at one time, I think if anybody has the best track record baseball-wise, it was strictly baseball. It's Herrera. And that might be where you come down to it. At the end of these 2 weeks, do you just go by, because spring performance doesn't separate, maybe you just go by, you know, who has the best track record on the field, and that might put Odubel in center field.
Matt, let's talk some injuries here. Last couple of days, there have been some scares. I'm not sure how serious they are. Brad Miller, rib cage issue, and then today, Spencer Howard, some back spasms, some back issues. Are either serious? Do you think either guy might not be ready opening day?
Neither are serious in terms of, like, long-term. I think both guys could drag an opening day for both guys. Obliques for Brad Miller seem to always hang around a little bit longer. So he's going to be reevaluated in 5 to 6 days. I think it's going to be tough for him to be ready for opening day. It's not out of the question, but you might want to be cautious and not rush it if you don't have to. But Spencer Howard, it's almost like the Phillies were looking for a reason to pump the brakes on Spencer Howard, since you're going to have to manage his innings all year. And I think today maybe gives you that reason, gives you, you know, a motivation to be cautious with Spencer Howard and with the back spasms. So maybe he starts a season in Allentown at the alternate site and then, you know, naturally works his way into the rotation in May or June. And then, you know, you pull the reins off and you let him pitch the rest of the season, because you really needed to buy yourself one way or the other in the bullpen or in Allentown for the first 2 months. And if he has, you know, if the back spasms is a legit, you know, that's something that's going to be bothering him. And just be cautious, shut it down, and then, you know, put him in Allentown, take your time with him. He's too important to be forced, I mean, to be rushed through this right now.
Matt Breen of The Inquirer joining us here talking Phillies. It's about 2.5 or so weeks until opening day. Matt, yesterday, Matt Moore pitched. And look, every time he's gone out there, I keep waiting for the shoe to drop. I mean, it's a very odd or just unlikely story that's playing out here, where a guy that, you know, was bad, he's basically been bad for years, and he ended up in Japan last year, comes back, and he looks the part. Man, I keep looking and saying, all right, this is when the start's going to come, where I see it, that he's not really a major league starting caliber rotation guy anymore. Yet he goes out there and he throws 3 or 4 good innings, and it does feel like they may have found something here. Matt, when you watch Matt Moore, are you feeling that he may have found something, that this is going to be almost like a career renaissance for him?
It feels that way, and you don't want to get, you know, too overblown from spring training, but it seems like it. And it reminds me of Charlie Morton, when Charlie Morton was with the Phillies, and he looked like he was going to have that three starts, and then he blows his hamstring out, and he doesn't pitch the rest of the year. Next thing you know, he's one of the best pitchers in the American League. Like, guys can figure this out. Matt Moore was at one time top prospect in baseball. Had flashes. You know, he wasn't a bust. Like, you know, he had a decent, you know, up and down career, and then looked like he might have been turning that around 2 years ago in Detroit. And the next thing you know, he gets hurt with his knee. He has to go to Japan last year. So maybe that was his Charlie Morton with the Phillies, was his time in Detroit. And maybe that's, you know, if he doesn't get hurt, maybe he just pitches really good in Detroit that year and he's not in Japan last year. But here he had to go to Japan, show that he could do it, and come back. And I think there's a chance. I mean, like I said, you don't want to get too ahead of yourself in spring training, but I think there's a chance that we're looking, you know, midway through the year and be like, wow, the Phillies, they let Charlie Morton get away a couple years ago, but now they found it, you know, a new Charlie Morton and Matt Moore. And it helps, he's left-handed. So I think the Phillies may have found something in Matt Moore, and I'm excited to see what that looks like in May. You know, we know what it looks like in March. Let's see what it looks like in May.
Yeah, that's when we'll really know, when he gets to the league a couple times and he gets a bunch of starts under his belt. It's ironic that they may have found something in a former Rays lefty in the rotation. They almost also may have one in the bullpen. I saw a tweet tonight from Jason Stark saying that their scouts are just raving about Jose Alvarado. Matt, his story is so interesting because rarely do the Rays give away someone for nothing if he could still pitch. They kind of extract all the value out of someone, and then they dump him. But Alvarado put on some weight. He got hurt. It just seemed like he fell out of favor there. But I don't know if it's a different diet, if he's just taking things seriously, if he's healthy. He looks like a guy I'm watching. I'm like, why did the Rays give him away? He looks electric right now. And I don't know what the roles are going to be for Girardi, but it does feel like, watching Alvarado, he's got to be a big part of the late innings.
Yeah, maybe that was what he needed. He needed to be let go by the Rays. You know, he needed to be DFA'd and needed to be motivated to, you know, change his diet, to cut weight, to kind of, you know, put his career back. And maybe that it just wouldn't have worked out in Tampa Bay. Just like we've seen guys in Philly, it's not going to work out in Philly. You got to go somewhere else for it to work out. But Alvarado, we talked like all spring about his velocity. He touches 100 almost every outing. But today he threw, and I don't want to get over the top from spring training, but it was like one of the nastiest curveballs I've ever seen. 3-2 curveball, which you don't throw 3-2 curveballs. So you got to really trust your pitch. And Gleyber Torres, just like, he had no chance. He just buckled him and froze. It was just like watching it because everyone's gearing up for here comes. The pitch before that was 100 mile per hour fastball. So the next pitch is going to be full count. You're going to throw 99, 100 again. Instead, an 86 mile per hour curveball. And it was just like, oh my, like me watching it, like my knees buckled. It was just a ridiculous pitch. And you have to imagine this guy, he's in the hierarchy of 7th, 8th, or 9th. But it's going to be tough to keep him out of the ninth if he's throwing 100 every night.
Well, it will, because he could. We've seen it before. I mean, he can be that good, and he could be that dominant. So, Matt, last one for you tonight. We're about 2.5 weeks away from the opener, 2 weeks or so until the Phillies have to figure out what this roster is going to look like for opening day. Do you think there'll be any thought to the Phillies tailoring their opening day roster maybe a little bit differently this year than normal because of who they play early on? I think the first 13 games are Mets and Braves. Do you think they might, like the last couple spots, try to say, all right, these games early are important, and then we'll kind of recalibrate and reassess 2 weeks in on what we have? Do you think they might prioritize the strategy of who's on the roster versus like, oh, he was our best guy, we have to keep him early on? Maybe a different approach because of how big these early games are. It's weird to say that in a 162 season, but I feel like Mets and Braves 13 times to start the year, that's pretty important.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. You might see an extra left-handed arm in the bullpen to neutralize those lineups. And you have to look at the off days. Maybe you can sacrifice a starting pitcher. You know, you carry only four starters. But now that I say that, none of those guys have options that are in the five anyway. So it would be – it's tough to do it. But, I mean, I think the ways that the bullpen construction will probably be – could be altered on that start. And where I say, you know, you bring in extra left-handed arm, like – Jojo Romero is right now in the bubble. Maybe he's, you know, automatically on the opening day roster for the start of the season because of those left-handed lineups that they're going to face. But and when you go to the bench, like, it just there's so much up in the air. But even the way you construct the lineup because of the injury to Brad Miller, you know, how that affects everything and who's going to be in center field. So it's tough right now to project a 26-man roster for opening day just because of A, injuries, and B, the roster battles that are kind of still playing out.
Yeah, you know what, though? Whoever's there, it's going to be awesome that we're going to get to be there. Fans are going to be back. Matt, you'll be covering it. And it's just about 2 weeks away. Matt, always appreciate you hopping on. We'll be reading at the Inquirer. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Have a good night.
You too. There he goes. Matt Breen, Philadelphia Inquirer. Speaking of fans being there, saw this today. So this was from, I guess this came from Governor Tom Wolf. Was that where the edict came from today? Okay, so they're increasing the, I guess, how many fans you can have at arenas and outdoor buildings. So as of today, the new capacity limits are 50% for Citizens Bank Park, could hold up to 50%, and Wells Fargo Center could have 25% by Sunday, April 4th. Now, the city of Philadelphia needs to approve this. If they're on board, if the city of Philadelphia is on board, by the second series of the year, we could have, what would that be, 20,000 or so at Citizens Bank Park? That's pretty cool.
What they've averaged the last few years.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, April or May games, you're not going to get much more than that anyway. Maybe a Sunday, you know, you would typically get more than that.
I mean, it'll look a little different because everyone's going to be spread out.
Yes.
Right? It won't be a normal game with 22,000 where 20,000 are in the first level and you have a half dozen people sitting in the upper deck.
Yeah, this will be kind of pods and people in different places. But it's great. I mean, if this is all on the horizon, it's absolutely great news. And the Sixers game last night, I heard a little buzz.
You could just tell. I mean, for the most part, it wasn't that different, but there were boos.
There were people there. Like, you could tell.
Like, it had the personality of a crowd.
Yes.
The sound wasn't very different, but you could tell it had a personality.
Right. There are no boos when it's just the players and the referees and the coaches.
Yeah, like, the referees went to look at a replay, and they got booed for it. Like, the in-house PA people wouldn't do that.
No. Except in the, where'd the booing sound come from for Carson against the Rams? That was Fox blurted that in?
I think so.
Yeah, because that was a big debate, whether the Eagles actually put on a sound effect that booed Carson week 2. And then we found that it wasn't the Eagles. It was just Fox simulating what – and, I mean, Fox was correct, right? They played that bad that day that they would have gotten booed. But anyway, appreciate Matt hopping on. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. More fans coming back. And, of course, we have all the Eagles stuff after a Birdstown Hall today, which I got a couple messages here. People were wondering if they can go back and listen. You can always go back and listen to shows on the Radio.com app. And, in fact, you could scroll back if you want to. I mean, I suggest you do this after our show ends tonight, but you could do whenever you want. You could go back as far as this morning. So you could listen if you want to the entire Birdstown Hall, starting with Angelo at 6 a.m., all the way through 6 p.m., which it was a great day. It was weird today for a couple of reasons. One, the last time we were able to do this, we were at a bar, a restaurant, you know, so fans got to come out and we got to talk to people. And it's always cool to meet listeners and talk to them in person. So obviously that this year we couldn't do that. I would hope next year we could be back in a bar or restaurant or something somewhere doing a day like today. But the other part of today was interesting was we didn't get moves by the Eagles to discuss. I mean, almost every time we've done one of these Birdstown Halls, the Eagles have done something. I think 2 years ago it was signing Malik Jackson and trading for Deshaun on that day one. Today the most notable Eagles move was restructuring Brandon Graham's contract and then the fact that Jalen Mills left. Does the Jalen Mills signing raise your eyebrows a little bit, Tucker? Like, because to me, we were talking about underappreciated Philadelphia athletes. Like, obviously, Bill Belichick thinks Jalen Mills can help him win football games. And yet here, like, you know, that old line that Bill Belichick has where don't tell me what a player can't do, tell me what he can do and I'll figure that out. That's what I thought about with Jalen Mills, because all we talked about here as fans for the past 5 years was what Jalen Mills doesn't do well. And we almost never talked about, like, oh, he can do some things to help you win football games. And I feel like Bill Belichick saw what we don't talk about, and that's why he gave him $24 million.
Yeah, I mean, it's something where Jalen Mills, I think, has a unique skill set, right? Like, Jalen Mills isn't a traditional outside corner. I don't think he necessarily is a traditional safety. He's something in between, and the money he got to get 4 years, $24 million, I mean, $6 million per, it kind of, it's low for a high-end starting defensive back, yep. But it's high for a backup, right? Like, I think he's a guy who...
He's going to play.
Maybe they're going to have him play nickel. Maybe they're going to have him play safety. Maybe they're going to have him all over the place. I mean, they moved Eric Rowe, Eagles' former second-round pick, to safety this year. If Eric Rowe and Jalen Mills were their safeties next year, it wouldn't be shocking to me.
It's incredible. Eagles' defensive backs that don't work out here, Bill just scoops them up. Patrick Chung, Eric Rowe, Jalen Mills, just come up to New England. We'll figure
Who's
it out.
Who's next? Russell Douglas? Sidney Jones?
Would you be shocked if either of them end up there?
No.
I wouldn't. I mean, this is what the guy does. He finds players that people don't want or discard or don't think are worth money or whatever, and he puts them in their system, and they'll be fine. And also, he signed Nelson Agholor tonight to a pretty significant deal, 2 years, $26 million. So he goes to the Patriots. Mills goes to the Patriots. And now we await to see how the Eagles finalize getting under the cap. The biggest – so I think over the next 2 days, two stories will emerge with the Eagles. The two biggest stories will be, what are they doing with Derek Barnett? Because I've already decided Ertz is getting traded. You know, whether that's where it's to or what they get back, we'll see. But they're going to trade Zach Ertz. The two stories I feel like are going to be the biggest ones the next couple days leading into Wednesday at 4 o'clock. One, what are they doing with Derek Barnett? Because – my thought is that I would re-sign him and lower his cap number. He's only 23 years old, Derek Barnett? 23 or 24? He's
I believe he's 24.
Okay. I don't want to see Derek Barnett break out somewhere else. I'd rather keep Derek Barnett and bet on him at a reasonable cost to keep getting better. Because it would make me so upset if he goes somewhere and all of a sudden he's popping 10 sacks next year and he could have done that here. So I would try to lower the cap number and re-sign Derek Barnett. The other big story is going to be, will the Eagles land a veteran quarterback? And right as everything opened today, right as the legal tampering opened, there was a report out there that the Eagles have interest in Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett just seems like the most obvious and simple and seamless signing the Eagles could make. He literally was Nick Sirianni's quarterback 2 years ago in Indianapolis. Had him for all the years he was in Indianapolis. Like, he knows Sirianni, and they know each other. It's like, I'm sure they speak each other's language on play calling, on the offense. It would be very reminiscent, although it's a higher-end version of this, of when Doug brought Chase Daniel here in 2016 to help teach the offense – to a young quarterback. Then it was they were going to draft Carson Wentz. Now it's Jalen Hurts. And it's also similar to Andy Reid having Doug Peterson, right, in 1999 to help teach Donovan McNabb. Like, Jacoby Brissett is a way higher-end player than Doug was. He's a higher-end player than Chase Daniel's been. And he was a starter for a season in the NFL. Like, he could start. I think the Colts won 7 games, Brissett. I would take Brissett, right? If Brissett's willing to come here, and I also feel like if Jalen Hurts went down with an injury, Jacoby Brissett is good enough for a few weeks that it's not going to be, you know, the guaranteed losses. Depending on who they played, they can compete in games with Jacoby Brissett. So those are the big things I'm looking at the next 2 days. Number one, are they going to lower Derek Barnett's cap number? Are they going to re-sign him? Or are they going to clear $10 million and just rescind the rights of Derek Barnett? They could do that. And will they bring in a vet? Who's the veteran quarterback, right? Who's the veteran backup? Because as much as we heard the report last week about no competition and they want to kind of make sure Jalen Hurts has everything he needs to succeed, they're going to have another quarterback here. They need another quarterback just in case. And I think Brissett, it just feels like he checks every box, most especially he's Nick Sirianni's guy. I would think Brissett is here soon, Tucker, and I'm going to say they re-sign and extend Derek Barnett.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, Barnett's an interesting one because his production from his rookie year hasn't really changed all that much. Like, nope. He had more quarterback pressures this year, and he only played 10 games. So you can see some sort of growth. But, I mean, he still has a lot of stupid penalties. He had multiple personal fouls this year, unnecessary roughness penalties. But, I mean, he's the guy, like, there's no other youth on the defensive line. Outside of Josh Sweat, who I still think there's a little projecting if you're trying to get him to be an above average to good starting defensive end. But yeah, I mean, if you're getting rid of Derek Barnett, like, I don't know what plan B is. Well, unless you believe Jalen Hurts is the guy and you have multiple first round picks next year to kind of figure that out.
Well, I mean, think about it too, from the perspective of the future of the position at defensive end. If they let Barnett go, right? If they rescind the $10 million cap hold they have on him, just let him go. What's the future defensive end? In a year from now, who are the defensive ends?
Vinny Curry.
Josh Sweat. Old Brandon Graham. Like, I just feel like unless they're invested in drafting a defensive end high, and I don't think that's where the top 10 is this year. It doesn't seem like there's that guy in this year's draft. You bring back Derek Barnett, and you let it play out, and you see if Barnett and or Sweat can really take a leap this year, and then you know what you have. And you have a bunch of picks next year. So I would bring back Barnett and lower the cap number. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. Wide receiver in the draft at number 6 or sign one of the guys out there. I say sign a veteran. Use the cap room that way and not have to pigeon yourself to the number 6 pick in the draft. And when we get back, I got to call out Ben Simmons. He wants to call people out. I'm going to call him out because he wants to pretend he wasn't bothered by something that's really dumb. He was, obviously. We'll discuss on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.